Sponsorship for Marketing Voices is provided by Intel, the world leader in silicon innovation.
This is Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of industry leaders and examining the impact of social media on marketing.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Jones. Welcome to Marketing Voices. Today I'll be talking about the social marketing strategies of the Obama and Clinton campaigns. And, you know, my belief is that these campaigns are really great fodder for social media, learning, and marketing. And I've got the guy of all guys that's going to be talking to me today about it, and he's Peter Blackshaw, and he's here with me to discuss whatever we want to discuss about this. We could talk about millions of things, but we're going to be talking about this. And Peter's just completed an analysis of the online strategies of the campaigns. And additionally, for those of you that don't know him, he is really a man who encompasses, his background's incredible. He encompasses public policy, interactive marketing, brand management, and he's executive vice president of strategic services for Nielsen Online, which is a combination of Nielsen Buzz Metrics, which is a firm Peter helped co-found, and Nielsen Net Ratings. So welcome to the podcast, Peter.
Welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, I'd love to have you back. So let's just jump right into it. So in terms of your findings and your thoughts about this, you know, Obama-Clinton, what can marketers really learn? And what do you think are the most salient points about, you know, all the things that you know about it?
Well, I think there's some really powerful, if not potent, lessons about participation and engagement. Marketers, we love to talk about engagement, but we're not very good at putting it to practice. And I think that it's worth spending time on the two campaigns. And, you know, John McCain is doing this as well. I focus most of my attention on the Clinton and Obama campaigns. But they've really taken this notion of participation to the next level. Success is all about enrolling consumers in an activity, whether it's donating to the campaign, signing up to pass out leaflets, going to an event. It's more than just the click. It's this element of participation. And I think all marketers have much to learn in looking at how all of that website real estate is used to draw the consumer in. I think there's also some really important lessons about the use of video and some of the more sight-sounded motion, utilities that are out there. I'm especially impressed with the Obama campaign. They're both using video. I would probably give the edge to the Obama campaign in using the video in very strategic and tactical places to really build that excitement about the campaign. But again, relative to where websites were 4 years ago, we just have a whole new level of engagement taking place, and every marketer should be taking notes as we speak.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they are in this campaign, or in this program. So one thing that struck me was this whole idea of win with emotion. And how do you think corporate marketers can truly better execute sites that win with emotion?
Well, first, corporate marketers need to simply make the transition from what they've always done well, which is television, which, as I learned at Procter & Gamble, is very much based on, emotional appeal, sight, sound, and motion, reason to believe, visual, imagery, and understand that we now have the capability of doing that online. And the campaigns have done a really nice job of not only putting up their TV commercials online, but also having very unique appeals, almost like the fireside chat to their devoted evangelists. And you're seeing a lot of that. And we're actually seeing it rotate almost on a daily basis. And I think all of that works with emotion. I mean, we want to identify with the, with our candidate. And sometimes when they're looking us in the eye and talking with conviction about their issues and spelling out what they're going to do, it just feels more persuasive than something that you read. And again, this isn't rocket science. We've been doing this for many, many years via TV. It's just that now we're starting to see that very, very powerful leap. I found it very interesting, for example, I did an experiment where I gave to both campaigns, and it was interesting on the Obama side, when you give the money, they're playing this music along the process.
It's
very smart because a lot of people fall off because most website interfaces are impenetrably inaccessible and bureaucratic and aren't really created with a sense of warmth. And here you have the Obama campaign that not only has a friendly interface, but they're actually playing this music that almost crescendos to the give.
Yeah, and it's not like elevator music either. It was like I thought, this is weird because normally sometimes that kind of stuff sounds like so not hokey, but just is obnoxious. And yet it wasn't.
And then there's more, because when you finish the process, rather than getting that boring little thank you or that email, there's yet another video that kind of further engages you. It's like it's almost like the band playing that says, hip, hip, hooray, you have given, you really are part of the team. And again, you know, this isn't, you know, these are things that happen all the time, the way we give positive reinforcement, look people in the eye, and we're now starting to see that translated really well online. And I think part of what's going on is that every voice matters. How do you make sure you don't lose anyone? There's always something for them to do. They may not give money this time, but they might on the third time. And how do you just kind of keep that level of engagement, you know, going? And both campaigns have really driven. I mean, it's interesting. I've signed up for newsletters on both sides, and you know, you're getting midnight emails as soon as they give their concession speech or their victory speech. You're getting an email from them, kind of giving their interpretation. And it's smart because they know a lot of us are bloggers. We may mention that before we read the New York Times the next day. And so they're really keeping, they're not only connecting emotionally, but they're also keeping pace with us in our real-time activity.
Well, you know, the other thing that you brought up on your sort of tips, as I call it, so this was, again, in ClickZ. I've got to make sure I reference this because I thought it was an awesome piece, and it was called 10 Interactive Marketing Tips from Barack and Hillary, and it ran on March 4th, 2008. So the other thing you said in here, which I have not seen anywhere or heard from anyone, is the whole idea of multilingual. And, you know, the fact that you said, you know, you've got to really be thinking of how you bring in lots of different people from lots of different, you know, backgrounds and languages and all of that.
Yeah, and isn't it interesting that you call that out as a big idea? You're from the land of the long tail, right?
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, that this should be a no-brainer. I mean, this is the fastest growing, you know, consumer segment. And yet so often marketers fail to include it. It's ironic because if you go to a bank teller machine, the very first thing you see is English, Spanish, but no one has translated that aha to websites, but the campaigns are getting it. And they're going beyond just Spanish speakers. There's a whole, the nice thing about interactive is it's becoming much easier to appeal to many different audiences. And interface, we're getting smart enough with interfaces where it doesn't feel like it's too balkanized. It still feels, you know, like there's a semblance of order, even though you're appealing to multiple audiences. But I think the Spanish piece is really key. And I think there's going to be a higher burden on candidates to show that they are in touch with, you know, key audiences. And both candidates kind of appear to be doing a, you know, well, let's just put it this way. I think candidates are well ahead of where they were 4 years ago on the Spanish front.
Okay, so a couple more tips that you sort of came out of the article with. Or not out of the article, but I mean that you actually have derived from all your analysis.
Well, I think, you know, making it simple, making it friendly is really key. I still think that most brands have not really put, you know, websites to the simplicity torture test. And I think both of them have done a really nice job. They made them very inviting. Even the places where you input your name, it's almost like the fonts have gotten bigger. So it, you know, it's like you don't get
older.
Lost. And again, a lot of this is intuitive, but I'm always amazed at how, again, impenetrably unfriendly most brand sites are. And again, it's all about what increases odds of someone stepping through your welcome mat, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's
no,
all
totally.
About you know, how do you pull them in, you know, and it's, you know, it's a much more expanded notion of just the click.
Right.
You know, it's the level of engagement, and someone's doing an ROI analysis saying if people fall off, then we lose votes.
Right.
That simple. I think the other thing that I really like is that they're, you know, they're very good at like reinforcing the loyalty and customizing the loyalty. I was very impressed that you know, Barack Obama, for example, you know, after I, you know, made a donation, immediately kind of came back and said, do you want to create your own mini blog platform in the form of My Barack Obama? And that's a pretty good strategy because I've already made this commitment to making a donation. They turn around immediately and kind of assume, okay, I'm already halfway down the path of evangelism. Wouldn't you like to create your own little mini portal? Now, I may or I may not, but I am a high probability candidate for doing that.
Right.
And of course, you know, if you can get your evangelist to blog, you know, that obviously can create all sorts of upside. In fact, I think the both campaigns have benefited from enthusiasts leveraging the power of you know, consumer generated media to build their platforms.
One thing that I was really struck by was the difference in the two is that how Hillary's focus was a lot more about the money, though, than Barack. Barack was all about building community to me and sort of bringing in the money at the end and asking for money much more, you know, in a much more circuitous way than did the Clinton site.
Yeah, I think both of them were very, very good. I think they both really screamed a whole bunch of activities in addition to raising money. Is Hillary's site a little bit more overt? Potentially, but even she's got a lot of community elements. But I think the key thing is that there's a lot of other things you can do than to raise money. If it was all about raising money, we'd probably feel pretty cynical.
Yeah.
But they do both, you know, again, you know, John McCain and the other candidates have also done this as well. They've really, you know, leveraged the power of the internet to provide more things for people to do. Now, maybe it's cynical knowing that if I can just get them to, you know, put a doorknob hanger up, they'll eventually give money.
Yeah,
but,
right.
But, you know, that's what they call upsell, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Okay, well, this has been awesome, and I really thank you. So now you've got a book that's coming up, and so can you sort of give us a little bit of a, you know, product launch on that?
I've been thinking for a very long time since I left Procter & Gamble about, you know, this whole power of consumer expression and how it's impacting brand reputation, and I've got a book coming out called Satisfied Customers Tell 3 Friends, Angry Customers Tell 3,000. And it's all about running a business in the age of, you know, consumer control. And I talk about what I call the six drivers of brand credibility: trust, authenticity, transparency, listening, responsiveness, and what I call affirmation. So if I type in Jennifer Jones into Google or into Wikipedia, what happens? And really, you know, what brands really need to do to win in this environment. And there's a part of the book that's a little bit sour on all the marketing hype about social media, because I really do believe most of the conversation comes from more fundamental business processes like customer service, motivated employees, products that work. And those are tougher things. You almost need to get to the CEO level to impact that. But
right.
That's kind of what I'm getting into, and I really hope it kind of moves the conversation about the quote conversation in a slightly different direction, because I think that if we're going to be credible as businesses, we're going to have to really tackle those issues.
Great. Well, so when's it coming out? When can people?
Well, I got a few galleys floating around, you know, tinkering here and there, but it will officially be out in late June.
Okay.
The official date is July 8th, but I think it will be in the big bookstores, you know, sometime in June. So
right.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I probably should have done this a while ago.
Yeah.
There's a part of me that's paranoid that I'm a little too late, but no, I think the argument's fresh, and I hope I can get a lot of people really, you know, peeling the onion on this one.
Yeah, no, I have to tell you, I talk to a lot of people in places, and I think there's still a lot of ways to go on this. So I really commend you, and so we'll look forward to it, and I hope you'll provide an interview for me when you actually launch
the
book.
Yeah, you bet.
So,
no, you always enjoy it. It's
great.
A pleasure.
Great. Well, thank you. So
let's keep in touch.
Well, we will. So I've been talking to Pete Blackshaw, who is Executive Vice President of Strategic Services for Nielsen Online. He's going to have a book coming out here July 8th. And we've been talking all about the election and the strategies for social marketing out of the election. So until next week, to all my listeners, may all the voices you hear be marketing voices.